Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live from the MGM Grand in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, straight from the Strip. Countdown to kickoff is on. The championship game rapidly approaches. Let's do this thing. We've got a bunch of guests. We've got a bunch of bets. We've got a bunch of props. We've got a bunch of hot takes and everything else in between. We're going to be with you for the next 120 minutes right here from one of the crown jewels of the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, the MGM Grand. Great spot. If you don't have tickets to the big game, this is a great spot to hang out. They've got all kinds of bars, deals, big game parties going on. But we've got our own party going on right here on the grid, and we're kicking it old school. Teddy Covers, Ted Savransky is going to join us live in a couple of minutes. We're kicking it new school. Griffin Murphy in the house. Mike Blewett will be with us as well. Mike Blewett's going to join us. Look forward to Mike's take. So Roger Goodell just met with the media a couple of hours ago, his State of the Union address, so to speak. And a lot of the talk was about gaming. A lot of it was about betting. And here we are in Las Vegas, Nevada right now. And I got to tell you, as somebody that lived here in the past, it would be unthinkable to think there'd be a Super Bowl here. It'd be like Super Bowl. They don't even play NFL exhibition preseason games here. Right? And remember, the NBA All-Star game came here many years ago, and it turned into a shootout. Right, you know, I mean, it was a violent weekend, and pro sports was sort of put on the back burner. But here we are, fast times at Rich Mountain High style accelerated into the future, and the NFL has embraced the future that is gaming. So we've got a ton of props to start sharing with you. We're going to sort of spread them out through the week, but I'm excited. I've already got about 20 plus bets in. I'm not kidding, and I haven't even really gotten into the player props yet. I can tell you a couple of player props that I did play. I didn't wait around. I played Mr. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, over 6.5 receptions. Sometimes you got to keep it simple, right? Listen, he was targeted 11 times in the championship game, in the conference championship game. He caught 11 balls. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs offense, it's not very dynamic. It's very predictable, but so is the New England Patriots, actually, when they were dominant. They do what they do, and they do it well. We all know you're throwing to Travis Kelce. You still can't stop it, right? You can't stop it. You know they're going to mix in. They're going to throw it to Rice. This kid's been unbelievable out of SMU. Valdez Scantling steps up all the time with big catches out of nowhere. So even though they're not, you know, they don't have a ton of weapons, they're still dangerous to deal with. The total is interesting at 47.5. We noticed this point spread. It's bouncing around, man. All right? This number, it's, you know, 2.5, 1.5, 2. I don't know if it really matters. I think, listen, if you're taking the Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to be taking the underdog, right? You're taking the points. If you like the San Francisco 49ers, don't worry about the 1.5. Don't worry about the 2. Lay the 30 cents. So the big story of the day, and this is hard to believe, actually, that, and I just read a great piece in the Wall Street Journal, the National Football League made $20 billion profit this year, okay? So they made $20 billion. You have the Super Bowl in 6 days. Yet the San Francisco 49ers don't have a field to practice on. The field's too soft. What are you guys, Goldilocks? Oh, it's too hard. It's too soft. So that's the first controversy, so to speak. There's always going to be these storylines throughout the week. This is the first one. So the San Francisco 49ers, and I knew this was going to be a problem when I saw that the Kansas City Chiefs were given the Raiders facility to prepare for the Super Bowl. And the San Francisco 49ers were given UNLV's facilities. Did anybody really not think that this was going to be a little bit of a problem? That the Raiders facilities weren't going to be a lot better than what UNLV's had? So San Francisco, so they brought in their own field. So this is nothing negative against UNLV. And shout out to Lorenzo Fertitta and the Fertittas, because they're the ones that funded this new UNLV training facility that's state-of-the-art. Beautiful. All right? So the San Francisco 49ers sent their people about 2 weeks ago to this UNLV facility. They approved it. The National Football League sent their people. They approved it. They brought in outside. Roger Goodell said today that they brought in 23 different experts about grass just for their practice field, and that the field is fine. The San Francisco 49ers are looking for alternatives right now. Anybody got a big enough backyard in Vegas here that the Niners are looking for a place? You know, you guys can practice in my hotel room if you want. And for the record, I'm betting on you, too. So let's game plan. Let's game plan, Shanahan. If you need some office space, come down to MGM and we'll hook you up, all right? So Roger Goodell was just asked about this, and he was very non-sympathetic. And he was very sarcastic. He said, what practice field? The practice field that they asked for? The practice field that we brought in 23 experts for? The practice field that they approved? And he was not very sick. So all this, well, you know, they want to practice where the Raiders practice now. It ain't happening. It doesn't look like it's happening. Goodell was not very sympathetic to this. And it's like little gamesmanship. Obviously, listen, we're here all week. This is storyline number one. But as somebody that likes the San Francisco 49ers in this game, I'm not too happy they're going to be practicing in a damn hotel ballroom. All right? The field's too soft. Figure it out. All right? You've got a couple of days here. They're not going to practice much anyways. They're going through a lot of walkthroughs right now. Obviously, tonight is media night. It's going to be a circus. We'd rather get our bets in. And we got basketball going on here as well tonight. Teddy covers. I look forward to Teddy's take on this Kansas and Kansas State game. It's a light night in the association. We've got a couple of games in the National Hockey League tonight. But we're going to jump in as far as the Super Bowl is concerned. And also something as well, like I said, is this a non-story, this little practice stuff? I don't think so. All right? I don't think so. As somebody that, you know, was in a band, is in a band, if everything sucks during the week and you can't practice, you've got a problem. Right? So I don't think the players, I guarantee you the coaching staff are very perturbed by this. I'm sure a lot of players don't care. It's the big game, whatever, man. You're going to practice on a parking lot if you have to for a championship game. But I want to get into Mahomes. You know, Mahomes is the Mr. Squeaky Clean nice guy in all this. Is he really? His brother's out there groping waitresses and bars. His father's driving around. This guy's drunker than Andy Dick on New Year's Eve. I got to tell you, it's just, and remember the Super Bowl that they lost to Tampa? Andy Reid's kid got all liquored up, popped up, popping pills like they're Tic Tacs, ends up smashing into people. What happened? They lost. Now you got Mahomes' father getting liquored up. Hey, Pat Sr., I think you can afford a ride, right? You ever heard of Uber? Uber Premium, I think you can afford it. Your son's in every damn commercial on TV. I think you can afford an Uber or a private driver. Like, Mahomes' family is a menace to society. I won't even get into his wife, who supposedly is a bad tipper. But that's another story. But all kidding aside, last time, remember, Andy Reid's the coach. His son gets arrested. They score 9 points in the game. Now you're Mahomes. Do you really got to be worried about your father coming to Vegas and getting picked up by Vice this week? Something to think about. Listen, Mike Blewett is with us in the building. Mike Blewett is in the building. And no offense to Mike, but we've got the legend, the local, Teddy Covers, reunited at last. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid's Super Bowl 58 coverage continues. I am Gable Morenci. We're kicking it live at the MGM Grand, a beautiful MGM Grand, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Countdown to kickoff is on. Tonight is media night. Roger Goodell just met with the assembled media, and we've brought in our media right now. Mr. Mike Blewett, Sports Grid's very own. Mike, good to see you.
Great to see you,
here,
buddy.
In Las Vegas, Nevada. The last time we were here together was the National Football League draft.
That's correct. What better place to spend it here at the MGM Grand, BetMGM Sportsbook behind us. And obviously, we've got a repeat performance here of these two teams. It's going to be part of the story here is in the first 39 Super Bowls in NFL history, we had eight repeat winners, but none in the last 18. Can the Chiefs run it back? Big storyline, obviously.
That is a great storyline that's not being talked about, actually, the lack of a repeat champion going back since the New England Patriots. And let's bring one of our insiders. We're looking forward to Ted Savransky's. Teddy covers picks. Teddy, it's great to see you, my man. It's been too long. Mr. Big Time TV. Syndicated everywhere. Teddy's a big star. It was hard to get him here.
No. It's that's you, my friend. But always fun to be here and excited to talk some big game action.
It's great to see you, Teddy. Let me ask you, actually, because Mike just brought it up. These two teams did play in the Super Bowl 4 years ago. Is there anything to take away from that game? Because in my personal opinion, I put very little time to next to nothing in sort of, I'm not going to lie, I did go over the box score. I did sort of kick the tires on it.
Yep, me too.
But, yeah, had to be done.
Yeah.
But they're such different teams right now, aren't they?
So, in terms of significant takeaways, absolutely not. In a pick'em Super Bowl, we got the Shanahan factor.
We have the same coaches, which is pretty important.
Yeah.
And we always talk about this with college trends. When you see, Michigan is 6-2 against the spread, Michigan State or whatnot. You really go by the coaching staffs, right, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, the coachings, they are the same coaching staff.
It's a common thread.
And to me, this is one of the key matchups. Everyone talks about the on-field stuff, but can Shanahan beat Reed?
I totally agree. I think that's the biggest storyline for me and why I'm leaning.
Or I should say Spagnuolo as well. That's what I want to get to.
No doubt. Coaching staffs for me are the biggest storyline here, and I do have concerns. You all said you looked through the box scores. I rewatched the game just a couple of days ago, and there was a point at which Jimmy G was 18 of 21 in that game, and people will pile on Jimmy G and say he closed the Super Bowl 2 of 10 when he had a 10-point lead. Well, who helped him close that Super Bowl out was Kyle Shanahan calling passes with a 10-point lead with 8 minutes to go, and I still have concerns from the 2016 Super Bowl when they blew a 25-point lead. I have concerns from what happened the other day. I have concerns what happened last week and 2 weeks ago. They were getting beat. They got outplayed by the Packers. So, yes, I have real concerns based on what happened 4 years ago.
Teddy, any concerns as far as Shanahan's concerned to carry on his point?
There's one more, too. If we talk about Shanahan playoff failures, notable ones, what happened to him in Washington? Remember the one playoff game with RG3. Where they had a 2-touchdown lead early and one might argue that Shanahan had something to do with the collapse of Washington.
So Shanahan's basically a guy that's been on the verge of greatness numerous times.
Sure. Is this his time? I mean, maybe it's his time.
Similar to Harbaugh in college? Yeah, I mean, eventually you've got to break through?
Maybe. Nobody's doing anything in this
league. Does he have the better team? He does. He has better players.
Does he?
I don't know if better team is a strong word. Right? We cannot argue the San Francisco 49ers are more skilled and deeper than the Kansas City Chiefs are.
I think everybody loves their offensive scheme and their ability to confuse teams and get up early on teams. And they do play well from in front, which is why we've seen some concern in these playoffs, right? Trailed against the Packers, trailed against the Lions significantly. But everybody throwing their best pitch, yeah, I think the Niners are the best team in the league.
Why is it, though, that we keep hearing this? I've heard this a lot about the Niners, how they didn't look great against Green Bay. They didn't look, they didn't look great. Buffalo were a missed field goal away from sending the game to overtime.
Yes, true.
And coulda, shoulda, woulda won. If it wasn't Buffalo, anybody else would have finished the job, Teddy.
Sure.
But people don't bring that up about as far as Kansas City.
Sure, and it's not like Baltimore was far away either.
No. You know,
Zay Flowers.
Dude, the penalties, the fumbles.
Inches.
Just quickly on that, and Mike, you're a great numbers guy off the top of my head. How many yards did they rack up in the second half? 220, 218?
I mean, five punts, and they didn't score on the road in a playoff game, and they still won, the Chiefs.
Yeah, in the second half, Baltimore dominated them.
Yeah,
they went up and down the field. They just
didn't score.
Bend but don't break. You've got to give Spags credit for that.
Sure, and that's the I mean, for all the criticism that's been levied at KC this season, and there's been a lot, their defense has been a dominant unit. It's been a playoff-winning unit. And, you know, you ask me, what's the undervalued commodity here? And it's KC's defense.
What is it, 19-1 now to the under in the fourth quarter?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
19-1, Mike, which scares me because one of my favorite props every Super Bowl, guys, is will there be more points in the first half or the second half? And I bet the second half once again, Mike, but this is somewhat of a concern.
No doubt. I bet the Chiefs' second half unders and fourth quarter unders have been wildly profitable this season. Spagnuolo proved once again he's able to make adjustments. Look, that game in the first, the AFC Championship game was 7-7. We're like, okay, we're going to get some points here, but it did not happen. The Chiefs were able to put up 10 more in the first half, and then, but for a field goal at the end of the game for the Ravens, they were not able to move the ball. Spagnuolo is excellent at making those adjustments, and the Chiefs' corners, to Teddy's point about the undervalued commodity, particularly the Chiefs' defensive backs and Snead and McDuffie, have been really good young players for them. Chris Jones gets the headlines. Nick Bolton makes big plays like he did
State
in the Super Bowl.
But, two of these guys.
But McDuffie and Snead have been awesome.
So this sounds crazy to say, Teddy, because normally we would say a high-scoring game would favor the Kansas City Chiefs and wouldn't favor San Francisco. But I'm thinking, if this is a 2017 game, that's not good for San Francisco. Like, this is how Kansas City have won games, by these 27-10s. Nobody really scores more than 24 points on them, Teddy, to be honest.
No one all year has scored more
than... And KC's offense isn't explosive. It's efficient on third down, right? Buffalo and Baltimore got him into third down God knows how many times. And they just, you can't stop Mahomes. You've got to look on the last play when they hit Valdes-Scantling for the long play, Teddy. So I'm saying, if San Francisco can't score, they're in trouble. I think San Francisco win this game, but I've got them winning like 27-24. They're going to need to get into 27-28 point territory, in my opinion.
Sure. So, I mean, I guess you and I have a different game script here because I am expecting a lower scoring game, but it's not because I'm expecting either defense to dominate. And let's not forget, we talk about San Francisco and how good they've been and how good they were, and they're the better team. So Robert Saleh's a head coach now. D'Amico Ryan's a head coach now. Steve Wilks, this defense hasn't been as good, all right, as the talent level. That they still have a lot of talent, but the defense flat out hasn't been as good. And when you look at San Fran over the back half of the campaign, hey, November, October, best team in the league by far. I had them a field goal better than everyone.
And they got smashed by Baltimore on the Christmas night. Yeah.
Look at them since Thanksgiving. They beat Philly right when Philly was starting to collapse. They blew out Philly. And since then, that's 2 months.
Doesn't it all?
It feels like a very different team, kind of on both sides of the ball.
Isn't it only, though, survive in advance?
Yes.
Because I heard the same things, and not to compare college and NFL.
Yep.
But jump in, Mike. I heard the same things about the Michigan Wolverines offense.
Sure.
Going into the playoffs. Yeah. Well, look at J.J. McCarthy over the last four games, only thrown two touchdowns. They were, let's run the ball, win, and advance.
They did enough.
Right? You did enough.
Yeah.
Are you holding San Francisco's, are you capping what they've looked like?
I think it has to play a role
Didn't the Chiefs get blown out by the Raiders?
Sure. The Chiefs, and to your point about the Chiefs offense, they've only hit 30 points three times this season. That's not typical. And by the way, it was against the Bears, Chargers, and Raiders, three teams that have had a lot of issues over the course
of the year. And the Bills in the postseason,
too. True. True. So, but what I would say...
Don't bring up the Bills.
The postseason. Doing the playoffs is worth even more.
So, I think, for me personally, I have to factor in what Teddy was talking about and how recently they haven't been playing their best football.
All right, more with Teddy and Mike on the other side. We got Griffin Murphy in the house. We got Pete Shep and more. Let's roll.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Countdown to kickoff continues. I am Gable Morenci. We're throwing it down live at the beautiful MGM Grand, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Super Bowl 58. The practices were a big controversy, the practice field, earlier in the day. Tonight is the circus media night. when you get all kinds of crazy people asking crazy questions. I'm the crazy person here, and I'm asking Mike Blewett and Teddy Covers questions. But, Teddy, I wanted to ask you, as somebody that's lived in Las Vegas for how long now? 30 years?
25. Moved out here in 98.
To 25, and I lived here before and used to hang out with Teddy and the late, great Dave Malinsky all the time. So who would have ever imagined, and here we are right now, hosting a Super Bowl?
It's impossible.
In Las Vegas.
It's impossible, dude. It was, again, we talk about it off air. It was 10 years ago that Tony Romo got kicked out for the fantasy conference.
Yeah, he couldn't have a fantasy football.
Yeah, they were like a half a million dollar fine, and they wouldn't let him do it. I mean, it was a huge deal.
Yeah. And it wasn't even necessarily big prize money associated with that fantasy football championship. It was just, let's organize a league and promote it, and still, they came down hard on it, to your point.
And now Las Vegas really is the sports capital.
Yeah.
It really is. If you look at all the conference college basketball tournaments that are here, USA Basketball, the NBA Summer League, I mean, it's basically 365 right now.
Sure. And obviously, you know, the A's coming, you know.
Yeah.
Raiders already here. Knights winning titles.
Basically had a negative effect on UNLV.
Yes and no. I mean, UNLV had the best football season they've had.
That is a good point. You're right. So I guess UNLV basketball is...
I mean, it went south with Raleigh Massimino and never got right, you know?
That is a good point as far as the football program is concerned. There seemed to be some enthusiasm for the first time.
Again, this I think is my, it might be my 26th football season. My first Super Bowl was the Broncos Falcons. It was my first Super Bowl that I lived in town. So
the Dirty Bird one.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. That was an easy Super Bowl. I didn't think about it. You know,
last time we had a running back Super Bowl MVP was that Super Bowl. Terrell Davis.
With the kick return touchdown was the only thing that made me crazy in that game.
Yep. So speaking of which, what about this MVP market? What are you looking at?
So I think it's obviously easy to say that, it's got to be a quarterback. But if you look back the last 10 years, we've had a couple of wide receivers. We've had actually two linebackers in the last 10 years prior to this one, two wide receivers, two linebackers. And if you look back the last 24 this century, we've got a couple of more linebackers in there. We have a free safety in there. We have a couple of extra wide receivers in Holmes and Ward and Deion Branch. So historically, yes, there are a lot of quarterbacks. But if you want to throw some bombs, I'm looking at guys like Isaiah Pacheco, who touched the ball 28 times in the AFC Championship game, like Debo Samuel, who's obviously a very much a difference maker, and they're happy to use in the red zone. So those are, if you're looking at long shots for Super Bowl MVP.
And there's not value with McCaffrey, but he has to be brought into the conversation.
Of course.
And normally, Teddy, it's kind of not clear cut, even though there's been other non-quarterbacks that win. But generally, the winning quarterback is going to win. But it's not really the case automatically. A good example is Mahomes is the MVP favorite, but the Niners are favored in the game because people don't believe there's a guarantee that Brock Purdy would be the MVP.
Hmm. There's more options for San Fran.
Yeah.
You know, there's more likely options for San Fran than there would be for Kansas City. But, I mean, let's be real about this. There aren't going to be a lot of positive expectation wagers out there this week. All right? There aren't. And yet, the Super Bowl is Christmas for sports bettors, plain and simple. It's a holiday for all of us. So how do you resolve that? For me, it's just you keep your unit sizes small, man. You know? This is a day to make as many bets as you want. If you're betting pizza money,
and
you can get away.
I remember one of the Super Bowls, and I've been here, guys. I've been doing this a long time as well. And I used to be that guy. Super Bowl's the last game of the year. I need to win big on the way out. I end up putting literally $20,000, $15,000, $22,000. When you don't win, you're spending the next 6 months crying about it after the fact. And the worst is you're not even a fan of these teams in these games. You end up betting. I lost money on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos, right? So I'm not even a fan. As you get older, you realize there is no lock, right, in these championship games. And especially in a game like this, in which the game is basically a pick 'em. But with that being stated, I diversify my portfolio. I have a lot of different props, traditional props that I play in a couple of different ways that I'm going to attack this. Let me ask you guys about this one. I'll ask you about this one, Mike.
Yeah.
Will there be an octopus? And I'm thinking, what does this mean? Somebody going to throw an octopus? What's the Detroit Red Wing game? So an octopus, guys, if you see it and you're wondering, what the hell is an octopus? An octopus is if a player scores the touchdown, and then the two-point convert after. Not later in the game, but he gets all 8 points.
Correct.
In a row. It had never happened in a Super Bowl before until last year.
Jalen Hurts.
It's plus 1,300 this year. What do you think? Is it worth a sprinkle just because we talked about it? We're going to hate ourselves if we don't take it?
I'll bet you that's the most profitable bet that the books take every year. People love that bet because it's fun. It sounds fun. And to your point, it hadn't happened. And it took the team that is the most efficient in goal line offense.
Yeah, but I remember there was never safeties in a Super Bowl. Then like 3 years in a row, there were safeties.
Sure. And I remember what Jimmy Vaccaro said after the third year of the safety. He's like, we're going to start booking the yes-no safety the day after the Super Bowl for next year. I'll take all the yes-backs. And, of course, it didn't hit the next year, and everything was fine.
Do you think about this octopus at plus 1,300?
Of course you bet the no. Come on. You bet the no on the – look, all of the win a little – or bet a little to win a lot props, they're designed to attract recreational players, all right? If you want to throw your money around on something, bet a little to win a lot props, knock yourself out. They're all negative expectations.
Well, in
every
fact,
one of them.
Yeah, I believe
whether it's no OT, no safety. The wise guys are coming in betting the nose on all this stuff. And they're betting it heavy. You know, they're betting it for millions of dollars. So,
and willing to live with the consequences, believing the numbers are on their side.
Sure, I wish they are. Again, the OT finally hit. All right? Finally hit. And they all took a bath that day. And how many years has it been since? And they keep betting it still every year. And they made all their money back and more already.
Yeah.
You know?
So Mike is going to be here all week as well.
I will.
But Mike's just going to be with us for a couple more minutes. So what are some of the early plays you want to share with us, Mike, that you're looking at?
So I'm leaning towards the Chiefs in this game. And I mentioned that the bombs that you could throw on Super Bowl MVP. But it is worth noting it's important to note what Teddy said, is that I'm talking about if you want to make a play for a long shot, those are the guys you should think about. But 35-1, 25-1, those aren't positive expectation plays. I think some of the other things I'm really looking at, because this total has been locked in concrete for the last 7 days, I'm really
moved an inch.
Yeah,
I saw 48s pop up, popped up at a couple of leading indicator books. I thought the market was going to move. And the market basically gave him the finger.
So I really am leaning towards second half and the score being pretty low there. So second half unders, fourth quarter unders, that's the type of thing that I feel really good about.
Interesting. What about player props?
Player props, I think you made a great point about Travis Kelce. While the Chiefs' offense isn't particularly dynamic like we've seen in years past, it is predictable. Travis Kelce, 11 for 11. Isaiah Pacheco, 28 touches. Rashee Rice is the tertiary target there.
He was 8 for 9, Mike, and that's something that really fascinates me. Yeah. I don't think people...
They're fantastic rookie
season. I don't think people like give that enough credence, actually, how amazing it is that the other team knows they're going to throw to Travis Kelce. Yet, they were 11 for 11, Teddy.
Yeah.
11 targets, 11 catches. Rashee Rice was targeted 9 times in the last game, Mike, with 8 catches.
Absolutely. And you had a couple from MVS and Justin Watson gets in there. But I'm telling you, this is a highly concentrated offense right now.
They're the only three guys that have scored, though, in the playoffs.
Yes, of course.
Rice, Kelce, and Mahomes.
Yeah, and by the way, Kelce did it against Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. Those are not slouches. Unfortunately, he has to do it again against Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. So he's got his work cut out for him, but he aced the test last week, and I expect him to do pretty well this week.
Here's a prop that I like, guys, and I think you're getting plus money for this. Who's going to catch the first player to record the first reception for the San Francisco 49ers?
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey's plus 275.
Oh, I like it.
I've already put the bet in. I could totally see first drive of the game, little dump-off screenplay to McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And Travis Kelce, for the record, is plus 175.
What's Debo on that one, too?
You like Debo on this?
That's interesting, too. Yeah,
but maybe a little shovel or something.
Because remember how they tried to get him so involved early? They're like, we have to get Debo involved. He's healthy. We have to get him involved early. Because I think there was a real concern of how long Debo was going to last in that game. Now he made it all the way through.
I would be surprised. So I played both these plays. If I hit one of them, fine, I'm going to make money. So I got Travis Kelce to record the first reception for the Kansas City Chiefs. I've got Christian McCaffrey at plus 275 to record the first reception for the San Francisco 49ers. And, guys, for the last 5 Super Bowls, the first offensive play of the game has been a run play, Teddy.
Sure.
And I believe that it's going to be a run play again this year. I know you think Pacheco's going to be a big part of the Kansas City offense. I believe McCaffrey's going to be a massive part of San Francisco's offense. I've already put this play in as well. You just talked about the sharps and the pros riding the number. This is something that I personally like. And I'm also riding the number that four of the last five Super Bowls has started off with a rush.
These are two teams that in their best case scenario, they're trying to run the football. You know, that's what they want to do. So having any plus price rushing prop in my
this
mind.
This one was not plus.
Is reasonable.
This one was not, sorry. It's like minus 130, maybe 40 even, I think. A plus one that I did play, Mike, and this one cashed last year. And I knew Philadelphia was going to score the first touchdown last year, but I like Kansas City in the game. And it would not surprise me. This is my early week vision. This game starts off with a field goal, Butker. I think Kansas City are going to score first. But, you know, five of the last seven Super Bowls, the team that scores first has lost the game. And this one is plus money, Teddy, plus 145. Team that doesn't score first wins the Super Bowl, plus 145. I'm playing it.
It's a pick 'em in a pick 'em game. That's a live wager.
Yeah, exactly, and it could go either way. We'll see you tomorrow, Mike Blewett.
Absolutely.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are throwing it down live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let the party begin. Countdown to kickoff is on. Countdown to the big game. And I'll tell you what, there's been some line moves at different books right now. We have our first Super Bowl controversy. There's always going to be a controversy and many more. But the San Francisco 49ers don't like their practice facility. They're not happy with the field. The field is too soft. And before anybody takes a pot shot at UNLV, it is up to NFL standards. It passed the NFL's test. But the San Francisco 49ers, it's like a mattress and a bed. Turns out the Niners prefer a harder practice field. And 70 degrees of gravity force. I guess this one is 50. I don't know, Pete. I didn't think we were going to be talking about gravity forces on the field. Our boy Pete Shepard from the Tony Bruno Sports Network steps up and in. Good to see you, Pete.
Okay, you're real.
Yeah, it's real in person.
It's been over a decade. You've been kind enough to come on all the stations I've worked at, three or four over the years, at various times. You've been so kind. And the one fault that you have is I ask you every year, give me your address so I could send you something, some kind of a gift, and you never do.
No, I enjoy coming on. You don't have to compensate me for my time. But I tell you what, when you're in this business for as long as you and I have been, over the years you eventually end up meeting everybody for the most part, but there's still people that you're on different sides of the country, and even though you might know each other on the air, you've actually never met. And me and Pete go way back.
Yep.
Met through our boy Jimmy Murphy, and he's doing great work now. He's big time in the NHL with the Boston Bruins. Great job, Murph. Mm-hmm. But I always thought it was fascinating, and one of the craziest, I remember when you were on in Boston, I used to come on the pregame show. Yates was on and stuff, and I was giving picks before.
It was awesome.
I never thought I'd be giving picks before a New England Patriot game on the official, broadcast. Like, you'd hear the music in the background, and I'd be giving the picks.
Yep.
I was like, I can't believe I'm on the Patriots pregame show, but it was awesome.
It was great. You were fantastic. Everybody loved you. I brought you on. I told my program director at the time, I said, Gabe Morenci's coming on. He had some other
handicapper, whatever guy.
Not all handicapper. That I was like, no. I said, Gabe is coming on, and immediately, the first 5 minutes, my producer saying in my ear, it's like, this guy's awesome.
I told you.
I said, but it's not just about the handicapping; it's the stories and everything else. And now on the Tony Bruno Sports Network, when you come on with me on Fridays, you know, you can cuss a little bit.
I still have to get used to that. I haven't really let loose yet.
No.
We're very corporate, as you can see.
You came on last week and said, I didn't even bring it up because I didn't want to hurt your feeling. You said, the Buffalo Bills found a way to F it up.
Yeah. Listen, we have a great life and we're blessed to be here. But one of these years, it would be nice if my Buffalo Bills would actually be in the big game. But we've got a great game this year, a rematch from 4 years ago. Although, I really don't know. What do you think about this, Pete? How much stock do you put in that game? What can you really take away from that game
They feel like two completely different teams to me.
Zero. Because if Garoppolo makes that completion at the end of the game, the 49ers win. And then who knows what we're talking about here.
And don't forget, Tyreek Hill was the one that made the big play for the Kansas City Chiefs that won the game, the deep pass late.
Yeah, I don't put any stock in that. I really don't. If it was last year or something, might be a different story. Jimmy G's not the quarterback anymore. But now you're telling me, and I retweeted your tweet on my show this morning, the 49ers are psychologically damaged. It's in their head. So I'm all over the Chiefs now because of the field. It's all in their head. The practice field, they're going to be distracted. They're going to be disturbed. All the excuses.
I don't like it. Listen, I don't think it's the end of the world. But at the same point in time, it's like, I've never heard this before. Have you ever heard of a team in the Super Bowl that doesn't know where they're going to practice? Like days before the game. Like this is, you know, it's just insanity. Now, it's going to get worked out. I knew right away, Pete, when I saw it was announced. As somebody that's lived here, and UNLV, listen, UNLV now, they play at Allegiant Stadium.
For my interns, be careful.
Yeah, but beautiful week. Facility.
Yes.
But they're Sam Boyd Stadium. You ever been to Sam Boyd Stadium?
I have not.
It's on top of a toxic dump. Like, it's literally, there used to be like a garbage dump. There's like Air Force waste
in
the ground.
So how did Randall Cunningham survive that?
Barely. So... like, their facilities were not up. Like, Bishop Gorman, the high school's facilities were always known as nicer than UNLV's.
Uh-huh.
But their Fertittas put a lot of money into this new facility. It is state-of-the-art. You've got a weight room, and it was state-of-the-art. But as we stated, the Niners found that the grass, the field was just a little soft, and they don't like soft practice fields. I think it'll get worked out, but it's not, as somebody that likes San Francisco, it's not what I want to see. Now, it's sort of like, though, a band whose sound check got screwed up. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, that's not good. But the other thing, too, we were talking about this a little a while ago. You know, in Phoenix, we were there for the Super Bowl, but even the Cardinals, every game, every home game, they undo the turf and then they wheel it back in. I thought I remember even at the Super Bowl there was some concern about how
it they took the Cardinals turf out and they brought in new turf. Well, it's like, why don't you just use the Cardinals turf?
Well, that's what they're doing now. They're putting in new turf. That's not the Raiders turf they're putting in. It's been coming. It's flown in from California, and you know, people are concerned.
It seems like they overthink a little bit with this stuff, right? It's like, listen, guys, we've been playing NFL football on this field all year.
Yeah,
we're playing the Super Bowl on this field. Like, what's the problem?
Who else plays on that field right now? Anybody? The last do they have a soccer team that plays on that field at all?
Well, the Raiders haven't been on a little while. I think the last time it would have been a Pac-12 game or something like that. All kidding aside.
Yeah.
But as far as the game is concerned, I think that from the handicapping perspective and from the fan perspective, it gets annoying. Listen, you were a Patriot guy. Yeah. So, and it was sort of like, God, Tom Brady again, 10 Super Bowls. Now we're into this Mahomes world right now.
See, I like it.
And then you get, and then, you know, some people wanted Detroit, right, to, you know, the upstart. Yeah. But now we sort of, this is blue blood. This is like, you know, Kentucky, North Carolina or something. And you know what I mean? This is blue blood San Francisco 49ers, modern dynasty, old dynasty, Mahomes trying to chase down Joe Montana's legacies. And how about this, too? I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference, bro, between being 3-1 in the Super Bowl and 2-2. Like, there's a lot on the line for Mahomes here, too.
Yeah, but there is. But, you know, his legacy is already sealed.
No, it is. But it's a lot like LeBron and Jordan. Yeah. There's a difference between never losing in these games.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know, it is a team sport game. I don't know if you know this.
I guess.
It's a team sport. The quarterback.
They blame the quarterback all the time.
Some places. Sometimes they blame the coordinators. But, yeah, no.
So who do you like? Who are you leaning with?
I'm leaning towards Kansas City in this. But I think right now it's a field goal game. I like the over. Some books have it between -1.5 to -2.5, depending on San Fran favorite. I haven't seen any of
that. Hey, listen, a teaser's great, isn't it? Kansas City up to +9 and over 40.5.
I'm with you. I'm Teaser City. I saw a good prop bet from somebody text one in today that did it here. He's got at +134, the total over 46, and Kansas City +6.5, and he got it at +134. I kind of like that. I kind of like that. Who are you leaning towards right now?
I'm leaning towards San Francisco, and I don't know if this is out of spite because I'm tired of the Chiefs, And yeah, they're our nemesis. I will say this, though. I'm not anti-Taylor Swift. I'm not anti-Travis Kelce.
Not his fault.
I think Kelce's a cool dude, actually.
I do too. It's not her fault they put her on TV all the time. I think people have gotten ridiculously out of control and make it political, which is stupid.
I don't understand how that happened.
Because people are just reaching.
Like, what was this
reaching.
Like? I don't know. Like,
reaching. No. You know, Bob Costas came on the other day and said, like, if she wore a MAGA hat, then this wouldn't be an issue at all. I just think
just leave her alone. She's a pop star.
She doesn't have a sign up at all these games saying, I'm Taylor Swift, show me. She doesn't do that.
No.
And then she was assaulted kind of in the runway by some woman swearing at everything else.
And you saw,
people, get a life.
You even saw her once at the game even said, will you effing leave me alone?
Yes.
Like the camera, she was like, come on, leave me alone. Like,
yeah,
it's not her fault. I don't have a problem with it. If anything, Mahomes' family's out of control. His brother's out of control. And I got to tell you, too, listen. That guy was lit. Look at that picture, bro. There's drunk driving, and there's lit drunk driving.
Absolutely. And you got to feel bad for Patrick. I mean, his dad was former, you know, pretty good Major League Baseball player back in the day. His brother's just an a-hole, nut job.
Yeah.
And the dad is just, I mean, you got to deal with that.
And he's got his wife out there talking all the time online. It never ends for him, yeah.
His wife with a pedantic blathering, good term, you know, just going on and on. I mean, that point, you talk about being distracted. He's probably like, geez, I can't wait for the game. Everybody get the hell away from me.
So
nobody's coming. I'm taking any family, no friends.
No, if I was him, I'd shut them all down. A bet that I did make, I do like the over of this game. I did. There's a prop that I like. Will both teams score 20 points or more? And I do. I think they will. And the good thing about this is, too, it sort of gets you into you win that bet, and then you don't have to worry so much if you lose the side. Because I do think there's going to be points. You know, I'd like the over, the 47.5. I don't middle games, Pete. I generally don't try to get cute.
I'm with you. You're on the same page in a lot of things.
But this is a little different. You look at the last couple of Super Bowls. Super Bowls historically in the old days used to be blowouts.
Yes.
Right? They're not anymore.
By the NFC most of the time.
Yeah, they're not anymore.
No.
Look, last year was 38-35. The year before was, 23-20?
Mm-hmm.
To 2 years in a row, we've had 3-point games.
Yeah.
Right?
All my Patriot ones are all close, win or lose, all close.
Yeah, that's exactly. So that's why I think, and if you look at Kansas City playoff games even, they're all close, right? So I really don't have a problem with that Kansas City teaser to the over, but then buying back and giving me San Francisco on the money line as well.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great way to middle the game. Well, that's what smart professionals like yourself do, unlike unprofessionals like me. I find myself lately, I'm overthinking stuff. You know, and of course, the injury report means a lot. But right now, if I had to, I don't want to trust my gut all the time. My gut is telling me Kansas City, but in my other gut, which is right over here, is telling me just bet the over. Don't worry about the side. Don't even worry about the side.
Well, that's why I'm betting the teaser to Kansas City, and I never do that. But I'm taking Kansas City, the over, and I bet San Francisco, and basically give me points, give me a close football game. I'm going to have so many props as well. I don't like betting against Mahomes. I mean, he's the modern Michael Jordan.
It's the spread. Look at the numbers.
Yes.
13-1 when he's an underdog.
Oh, yeah, So he's 11-1-1. 11-1-1 ATS. But this is another one, Pete, that people don't talk about. He's now 18-3 against the spread when the point spread is 3 points or less either way, which means big games. So 18-3 against the spread now in 21 of these. I think San Francisco are deeper. I mean, they're only the fourth team in NFL history, guys, to have four guys. Their quarterback generated, they got four guys over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy, like the production that they have. You've got to stop McCaffrey. You've got to stop Samuel. You've got to stop Ayuk. You've got to stop Kittle. Right?
Yeah.
They have so much. Can Kyle Shanahan get over the top? We've got about a minute and a half left here, Pete, and Pete's going to be around all week.
Yep.
We got to, get him to hang out with us over at MGM, the place to be on the Strip, the MGM Grand. But we got about a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
Make yourself seem smart on the way out. Give some people some winners here, Mr. Shepard, and let people know where they can find you, too.
Well, you talking about winners in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
What do you got?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the over. I saw McCaffrey, anytime touchdown.
Minus 225.
I don't care. Lay it. He's going to score a touchdown.
He scored a touchdown in 24 of their last 27 games.
Yeah, I'm not worried about laying the juice. Normally, I wouldn't lay that type of juice. I absolutely would do it. Probably any Patrick Mahomes, both quarterbacks, plus two over touchdown passes.
Oh, you think they're both going to throw over 1.5 touchdowns and get two or more?
Yes.
Two or more.
Yep. So I like that. And also, I like Pacheco over whatever. I think that's what,
67 and a half?
I'm taking over.
I think Pacheco is going to be a massive part of this. One bet all two, and listen, sometimes keep it simple, stupid works. I'm taking Travis Kelce over 6.5 receptions.
Oh,
the guy had 11 receptions in the last game on 11 targets. That's what's so...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shout out to our boy, Pete Shepard, who I actually join every Friday morning on the Tony Bruno Sports Radio Network. And in fact, maybe we're going to speak with Tony later in the week. We'll see if we can get the legend on Tony Bruno on the program. Speaking of legends, Teddy Covers is going to rejoin us for the second hour of the program. We're going to find out what Teddy likes for the championship game. And we've got Griffin Murphy stepping up in it, who's joined us lately. On the late night anger management class. Now we're going to have him in person. He just moved to Vegas recently, so it's perfect timing for him. Vegas is the place to be. MGM is the place to be. We're just getting started. It's Monday. Super Bowl week really starts to get crazy around Wednesday and stuff. But I'll tell you what, I've seen more Chief fans lingering early in the week so far. But you know what I've seen the most of? Edmonton Oiler fans, to be honest. As the Edmonton Oiler fans have taken over Vegas, the Oilers have a 16-game win streak. They're playing the Las Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday night, their first game back after the All-Star break. So Edmonton Oiler fans, number one, Edmonton is cold as hell. So they're looking for a reason to get out of Edmonton, and their team is red hot. So they're going to take this building over tomorrow night. I tell you what, quick pick as far as this game is concerned. It's right across the street from us. I actually might go to the game after the show tomorrow. How do I not go? It's across the street. There's also the media party tomorrow night, too. I've got decisions to make, baby. But if you're on a 16-game win streak, the last thing you want is the All-Star break. I think it's going to catch up to them. I think Vegas is the play tomorrow night. But never mind the National Hockey League. We're talking Super Bowl. And we're going to get into Patrick Mahomes on the other side of this and some interesting numbers as far as Mahomes. You know Mahomes has thrown more interceptions, four, in the three Super Bowls that he's played in and the combined any other 14 playoff games. You know Patrick Mahomes in the regular season, 69% completion percentage. Super Bowls, it dips to 62. For all of his greatness, he hasn't lit it up in these Super Bowls. And it's not like they have a ton of weapons. A lot of stuff to break down on the other side. Let's roll.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.